38 is where we're going to be tonight. Obviously, we have heard many things tonight, good and bad. We'd love to say that we're always at our peak, always on the mountaintops. But we heard from multiple prayer requests tonight that it just doesn't work out like that. It just doesn't always pan out the way we thought it was going to. Job here is a recipient of that. He had everything. He had a bunch of everything. And God decided to take it away. We have a couple of choices and options that we can, things that we can do in a time like this when we're uncertain. We can lean on God or we can run away from God. Have you guys ever asked yourself the question, why me? Why me? And contested God, contended with Him, wondering if He is faithful, wondering if He does make the right choices, wondering if He is the one who provides for all of our needs. Surely I'm not the only one. The question that I have for you tonight is, when we go through those tough and difficult times, can you and do you trust God through it? See, we serve a God who is all-powerful. We serve a God who is the creator of heaven and earth. We serve a God who never falls short. Though we don't understand what He does and why He does it, we can be sure of one thing, that He is God and we are the creation. So tonight, it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do a lot more reading. We're going to let God's Word speak for itself. And we're going to be reading Job chapter 38, perhaps to the end of the book. Just to get everybody caught up, the majority of us know Job's story. He had everything. He was a man there was none like him, as God said. Satan wanted to do some things and told God that the only reason that Job was like this is because he had a hedge of protection around him. So God said, you can do everything you want, anything you want to him except take his life. And Satan did just that. Took his family, took his livelihood, his house, everything from him. Gave him boils on his skin, demonic visions and nightmares. Through it all, Job did his best to maintain his walk with the Lord. But there was a time where he questioned God and actually demanded a hearing with God. The lesson there is, be careful what you wish for, because God has a response. And he says here in 38, and I will be reading from the CSV version tonight. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. He said, who is this who obscures my counsel with ignorant words? Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have an understanding. Who fixed its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? What supports its foundation? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy? Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst from the womb, when I made the cloud its garments and total darkness its blanket? When I determined its boundaries and put its bars and doors in place, when I declared, you may come this far, but no farther. Your proud waves stop here. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning or assigned the dawn in its place, so it may seize the edges of the earth and shake the wicked out of it? The earth is changed as clay is by a seal. Its hills stand out like the folds of a garment. Light is withheld from the wicked, and the arm raised in violence is broken. Have you traveled to the sources of the sea or walked the depths of the oceans? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the extent of the earth? Tell me if you know all of this. Where is the road to the home of light? Do you know where the darkness lives, so you can lead it back to its border? Are you familiar with the path to its home? Don't you know? Were you already born? Have you lived so long? Have you entered the place where the snow is stored? Or have you seen the storehouse of hail, which I hold in reserve for times of trouble, for the day of warfare and battle? What roads lead to the place where the light is dispersed? Where is the source of the east wind that spreads across the earth? Who cuts a channel for the flooding rain, or clears the way for lightning to bring rain on an uninhabited land, on a desert with no human life, to satisfy the parched wasteland and caused the grass to sprout. Did the rain have a father? Or does the rain have a father? Who fathered the drops of dew? Whose womb did the ice come from? Who gave birth to the frost of heaven? When water comes as hard as stone and the surface of the watery depths is frozen. Verse 31. Can you fasten the chains of Pleiades or loosen the belt of Orion? Can you bring out the constellations in their season and lead the bear and her cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you impose its authority on earth? Can you command the clouds so that the flood of water covers you? Can you send out lightning bolts and they go? Do they report to you? Here we are. Who put wisdom in the heart or gave the mind understanding? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds or who can tilt water jars of heaven? When the dust hardens like cast metal and the clods of dirt stick together, can you hunt prey for a lioness or satisfy the appetite of young lions? When they crouch in their dens and lie in wait within their lairs, who provides the raven's food when its young cry out to God and wander about for the lack of food? There was a lot of things that Job didn't understand. He couldn't understand why he was going through the things that he was going through. He couldn't comprehend why God would allow these things to happen to him. Contended with God, asked for a hearing with God. God made it very clear, very plain as day, that there's a lot of things that Job didn't understand. He asked him about creation. He quizzed him about creation, about earth, space, weather, the seasons, clouds. Job has no answer. But God doesn't stop there. It goes on in chapter 39, verse 1. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Have you watched the deer in labor? Can you count the months they are pregnant so that you know the time they give birth? They crouch down to give birth to their young. They deliver their newborn. Their offspring are healthy and grow up in the open field. They leave and do not return. Who set the wild donkey free? Who released the swift donkey from its harness? I made the desert its home and the salty wasteland its dwelling. It scoffs at the noise of the village and never hears the shouts of a driver. It roams the mountain for its pasture land, searching for anything green. Would the wild ox be willing to serve you? Would it spend the night by your feeding trough? Can you hold the wild ox to a furrow by its harness? Will it plow the valleys behind you? Can you depend on it because its strength is great? Would you leave it to do your hard work? Can you trust the wild ox to harvest your grain and bring it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully, but are her feathers and plumage like a stork's? She abandons her eggs on the ground, lets them be warmed in the sand. She forgets that a foot may crush them or that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they were not her own, with no fear that her labor may have been in vain. Verse 17, for God has deprived her of wisdom. He has not endowed her with the understanding. When she proudly spreads her wings, she laughs at the horse and its rider. Do you give strength to the horse? Do you adorn his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His proud snorting fills one with terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He charges into battle. He laughs at fear since he is afraid of nothing. He does not run from the sword. A quiver rattles at his side along with a flashing spear and a javelin. He charges ahead with trembling rage. He cannot stand still at the trumpet sound. Verse 25. When the trumpet blasts, he snorts defiantly. He smells the battle from a distance. He hears the officer's shouts and the battle cry. Does the hawk take flight by your understanding and spread its wings to the south? Does the eagle soar at your command and make its nest on high? It lives on a cliff where it spends the night. Its stronghold is like a rocky crag. From there it searches for prey. Its eyes penetrate the distance. Its brood gulps down blood, and where the slain are, it is there. He goes on to quiz Job about the beasts that he created. Does he have any power over any of these things? No. Does he have any power over the things that he had talked about? Creation, animals, beasts. Job, again, has no answer for this. He doesn't have anything to say. God is asking him rhetorical questions. He doesn't quite care what Job's... He knows Job can't answer it. There's nothing he can say. And we'll see that in chapter 40. There's nothing that he can say to God. I don't know if any of you have ever been so upset with God that you start telling him how he needs to act. That you start asking him and telling him that he owes you an explanation. That, God, I don't know who you think you are, but do you know who you're talking to? And then when he responds in such a way as this, what do we say? Nothing. We can't say anything. Because when he reveals himself to us, what do you say? Let's find out what Job says in chapter 40. The Lord answered Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who argues with God give an answer." He's giving Job his time to talk now. He had so much to say before this. We have so much to tell God before we have an encounter with him such as this, don't we? God, let me tell you something about you that you don't know. God, you owe me an explanation as to why this is happening in my life. Why this pain, why this sorrow, why this heartache is happening to me. Are you there? Do you care? Why aren't you answering me? Who do you think you are? Maybe you've been there. But the God we serve gives us a time to respond. And what Job says here in verse 3 of chapter 40, "Then Job answered the Lord, 'I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I placed my hand over my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not reply twice, but now I can add nothing.'" He got exactly what he asked for. He wanted time with God, to talk with God. However, I don't believe that he thought this was going to be the way the conversation went. God has a very particular way of making sure that he knows, that we know who is God and who is his creation. And if we don't, we need to wake up. Let God be God in your life. Just be the person he created you to be. Most of us, after a scolding or a schooling like this, there would be an understanding of, okay, I get it, but guess what? God wasn't done. He goes on. "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, 'Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Would you really challenge my justice? Do you declare me guilty to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and clothe yourself with honor and glory. Pour out your raging anger. Look on every proud person and humiliate him. Look on every proud person and humble him. Trample the wicked where they stand. Hide them together in the dust. Imprison them in the grave. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can deliver you.'" Verse 15, "Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like cattle. Look at the strength of his back, in the power in the muscles of his belly. He stiffens his tail like a cedar tree. The tendons of his thighs are woven firmly together. His bones are bronze tubes. His limbs are like iron rods. He is the foremost of God's work. Only his maker can draw the sword against him. The hills yield food for him, while all sorts of wild animals play there. He lies under the lotus plant, hiding in the protection of marshy reeds. Lotus plants cover him with their shade. The willow by the brook surrounded him. Though the river rages, Behemoth is unafraid. He remains confident. Even if the Jordan surges up to his mouth, can anyone capture him while he looks on or pierce his nose with snares?" God wasn't done with him. Behemoth was the biggest thing, the biggest animal, that the most powerful thing that walked the land in Job's time. The creator of this animal, this beast, was God. It doesn't matter the power of this animal. It doesn't matter the power of this animal, Job, compared to the strength of God. This animal was still a creation. This animal was still God's creation. Job's humbled. God is displaying his splendor and beauty and majesty to Job in this whirlwind, saying, this is what I've created. What can you do? I've created all of these things. What do you have to say? Because what he asks him is, who contends with me? Let him speak. And Job doesn't utter anything. And he says, don't forget that I've created this. And I don't know about you, but there's a part of me that finds peace in this conversation that God is having with Job, knowing that the biggest things in my life, the most tedious, terrifying things in my life, are minuscule on God's scale. The one who created everything, the one that has been there since the beginning of time, the one who never changes, has complete control over all of these things. Why not lean on him? But God, he doesn't stop there. He continues on. In chapter 41, can you pull the Leviathan with a hook or tie his tongue down with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he beg you for mercy or speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you so that you can take him as a slave forever? Can you play with him like a bird or put a leash on him for your girls? Will traders bargain for him or divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay a hand on him, you will remember the battle and will never repeat it. Any hope of capturing him proves false. Does a person not collapse at the very sight of him? No one is ferocious enough to rouse Leviathan. Who then can stand against me? Who confronted me that I should repay him? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I cannot be silent about the limbs of his power and his graceful proportions. Who can strip off his outer covering? Who can penetrate his double layer of armor? Who can open his jaw surrounded by those terrifying teeth? His pride is in his row of scales, closely sealed together. One scale is so close to another that no air can pass between them. They are joined to one another, so closely connected they cannot be separated. His snorting flashes with light while his eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flaming torches shoot from his mouth. Fiery sparks fly out. Smoke billows from his nostrils are as from a boiling pot or burning reeds. His breath sets coals ablaze. The flames pour out of his mouth. Strength resides in his neck and may, and dismay dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, solid as metal and immovable. His heart is as hard as a rock, as hard as a lower millstone. When Leviathan rises, the mighty are terrified. They withdraw because of his thrashing. The sword that reaches him will have no effect, nor will a spear, dart, or arrow. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. No arrow can make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. A club is regarded as stubble, and he laughs at the sound of a javelin. His undersides are jagged potsherds, spreading the mud like a threshing sledge. He makes the depth seethe like a cauldron. He makes the sea like an ointment jar. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had gray hair. He has no equal on earth, a creature devoid of fear. He surveys everything and is haughty. He is king over all the proud beasts. God explains that he has giants on the earth. He has giants and beasts in the sea, so water and land is covered. And he asks Job, can you do any of these things? Can you hook his nose or tie his tongue down with a rope? Can you open his jaw surrounded by his terrifying teeth? Can you do anything to this? You can't even hurt him. The armor is so tight, nothing you can do to him. But God says, can you make him, in verse 5, can you play with him like a bird or put him on a leash for your girls? Is the problem in the mountain in your life so big that it can't be moved by God? Is the issue so big that we can't trust a God that we're reading about, that he's responding to Job? Can we not trust this God, the same God who was speaking to Job so many years ago, is the same God that we serve today? How is it that we still try to be God in our own lives. He can do all of these things to all of His creations. He has the answer for everything. How is it possible that we, as human beings, as creation, still think that we can outsmart, that we know more, that we understand more than the one who made everything? How is that possible? I think it's because we're so prideful. We want to do what we think is best. When we're not understanding what God wants for us or why He's doing things to us, we go to other people. We let the wrong people speak into our lives and then we're even more confused. But God here in these chapters is saying, everything that I've asked you to ponder, everything, every question that I've brought before you, you don't have an answer. Folks, there's going to be so many things that we don't understand. So many times in our lives that God does something that we don't understand. The question is, can you trust Him through it? When you're not sure which way to go in life, when you're not quite sure where He wants you to be, in the things that are happening, good or bad, you don't know what's happening, can you trust Him through it? I think if we can learn anything from this is that God is in control. God knows what He's doing. God knows exactly what He's doing. He knew that this was going to happen. He knew how this was going to play out. Satan had to ask Him permission to do what he did to Job. Don't get it twisted that Satan could do whatever he wanted. No, he had to run it by God first. Everything that happens has to be run by God. He's the one that gets to say yes or no. He's the one who's in control of everything, and He should be in control of our lives. He opens up the floor again after he gets done saying his piece. Allows Job to talk, because didn't he say, you're going to have an answer for me. So you're going to answer me like a man, and I expect you to have an answer. So this is Job's reply. And I think that we can all learn something from this. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no plans of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this who conceals my counsel with ignorance? Surely I spoke about things I did not understand, things too wondrous for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. When I question you, you will inform me. Job says in verse 5, I have heard the reports about you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I reject my words, and I am sorry for them. I am dust and ashes. There have been many times in my life, and honestly, I can imagine that you guys are the same, that we have heard of the things that God has done. We've heard about the great things that God is capable of and the stories. And Pastor Jimmy shared, you know, if you haven't talked to Luke about his back being healed, fantastic story of what God can do. Job here is saying, I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. I know you. But now I see. I know what you're capable of. I'm hearing you. I know what you want from me. And he doesn't stop. He repents. He says, therefore, because he knows this now, he doesn't just hear them, he knows God, he's talked with God, he's had a great relationship with God. He says, from what I said before, I reject my words, I'm sorry for them, and I'm dust and ashes. There's going to be times in your life, as well as mine, where we get asked a question, why did this happen? We ask God, why is this happening? I've been asked multiple times, if God cares about X, why did He allow this to happen? We don't always have to have an answer for it. We don't always have to say, well, God did this because God is God. He can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants. He doesn't need to run it by us. He doesn't need our permission to do what he wants to do. He never has, and he never will. Notice when Job asks God why, God responds with who. He said, you can ask whatever you want. Why did this happen? Let me tell you who made everything. Let me tell you who is in charge. Why did this happen to me, God? I don't understand. Well, let me tell you about me. That's what God says. Let me introduce you to myself. Let me ask you some questions. He's able to share with Job just how insignificant he is and how significant and perfect God is. We're never going to have all the answers. Seeking this word, figuring it out for the rest of my life, I'm still not going to have all of the answers. And I'm okay with that. Is there going to be times in my life and in your life where we say, God, why? Yeah. Absolutely. Are you okay with the answer? I'll tell you too, no matter what you're going through, the who is always going to outweigh the why. God is always going to be bigger than any problem that you're ever going to go through. So when we have these issues, let's go to the one who can truly only make a difference. Let's stand.